Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, Monday, March the 11th, 2024, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. And hopefully everybody has recovered from the time change. I can say that I have not recovered from the time change, although I thought I didn't have any problem with it because Saturday night I went to bed a decent hour, got up yesterday, was fine, and then last night there were some people over and they decided to stay until midnight, so that kind of throws everything off for getting up early this morning and coming in here and doing a show, but we still soldier away anyway. And I'll tell you more next hour about the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast this past Saturday. That was a lot of fun, and we thank them for having us in this past weekend, this past Saturday. But joining us here in hour number one this morning, you heard the reports last week. She was here with us last Friday morning and then called in last Friday night. Abby Chase, who was down in Columbus at the Schottenstein Center for the big wrestling championships. Now, you know, Abby, I wasn't really sure about this. Well, I'm so glad to have you in here this morning, and thank you for the reports all weekend.
Well, you're welcome, Scott. It was a lot of fun.
Now, with the time change and being down there since Friday, have you been through the ringer at this point?
Yeah. I'm exhausted. Yeah. You know, Schottenstein Center is a huge place, so I feel like I walked a million miles, but it really was a lot of fun.
You know what's funny? Events like that are fun, and you do remember them, and they're great, and there's a lot of anticipation building up to them. But when you actually go there, like the day you come back, especially on the weekend of a time change, it's a little morning.
It really is a little ooh.
Yeah.
I was feeling it last night, to be honest. So
really, it hit you yesterday.
I mean, it's just kind of like the come down. You know, we didn't get home until probably just after 11 last night. So, yeah, it was a long weekend.
What was interesting to me, because I talked to you a little bit about this on Friday night, when it occurred to me that the time change happens on the weekend that they do this, I would think that would be an odd weekend. There's only two of those a year, and one you get an extra hour's sleep. Yeah. It'd be odd that they would do this the weekend that you lose an hour's sleep, the only weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and I remember like it's been like this every year, so I don't know why. Maybe it's because Ohio State's on spring break this week, so there's a lot of kids off campus. For it to have such a big event on campus kind of makes sense, but yeah, crazy for the time change weekend.
Absolutely. So, but you're still feeling it.
I didn't
think I would feel anything until last night. I had people come over at like 8 o'clock that did not leave until after midnight. And then I thought, oh, this is not going to be good for getting up this morning, coming in here, already dealing with the time change the day before.
Right. Yeah. I guess I didn't really attribute much of my tiredness to the time change, but I suppose that probably has something to do with it.
It throws you off.
We were so busy. Like, you didn't even, like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't even have a chance to, like, process it. Just got
Did
up,
you set yeah. your watch? Did you get your watch out and set, crank your watch back?
I don't have a watch.
Really?
Yeah, just
look
phone.
At your cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Well, people still have watches, though.
Right.
So I'm not completely in the dark ages yet.
The hotel alarm clock threw me off at first, but obviously my phone woke me up, so.
And our atomic clock has already reset, so I'm happy for that.
Got a smart one.
Yeah, thank God for that. So, for people who didn't hear on Friday, where did you go, and what was the idea for this past weekend, and exactly what was going on in Columbus?
Okay, so we had the 87th annual Boys Wrestling State Tournament at the Schottenstein Center. It was the second annual girls tournament held the same weekend, so it was busy. It started Friday at 1 o'clock for Division III started first and ended last night. I suppose wrestling was probably over last night by 9, but then they have the podium things that they do, you know, putting everybody up there and announcing each winner by weight and division. So it was a long night.
So how did Marion do here?
Marion did great. I mean, honestly, they took 9 boys and 1 girl down there, and of those, 5 of them ended up placing. So 5 of the 10 placed in Marion, which is huge. That's a big deal.
Now, is that good? Because you've been doing this for a while now, going down there, is that typical? Is that average? Is that better than average?
I think that's probably better than average, I would say. I mean, you know, River Valley had one placer, Pleasant had two placers, Elgin had one boy and one girl, so it was pretty good.
Well, it was interesting because I remember we had talked on Friday and you had said things were off to a slow start for Marion.
It was, yeah. So at the end of the day Friday, only one Marion wrestler was still undefeated, and several were already out. So, but the ones that stayed in placed. So it was pretty cool.
And apparently, in the realm of Elgin, things really picked up.
Oh, it was so good. I was so proud of those kids. Quentin Harrison and Hallie Winslow both placed, which is the first wrestlers in Elgin school history to be state placers. So it was very cool.
Ever. Really?
Elgin's got to rewrite the books.
That's very interesting because they've been there quite a while at this point.
Mm-hmm. I think just in the last few years, though, the wrestling program has just really turned around and grown, and it's amazing. They got a great set of coaches, and the kids have been just done nothing but they're all heart. I mean, watching them wrestle, they are all heart. So it's pretty cool to see.
So now what happens on day one? When you went down on Friday, what's the idea of day one?
Okay, so day one is kind of like, you know, there's some wrestlers that don't make it past day one. So day one is a championship round to start for each division, 3, 2, 1 and girls. And then if you win your first match, you don't wrestle again on Friday. You make it to another championship round Saturday morning at 9:30. So for Marion, everyone lost, but, you know, Dax didn't chase from Pleasant and then came back and wrestled Friday night. At that point, a few of the wrestlers, if you lose a second time, you're out. So some of them were actually out as a Friday.
Double elimination.
Yeah.
So now, you on Friday night when you called in, for people who didn't hear that, you said there was a 6-foot-8 kid who was really making waves. Now, what became of him?
I honestly don't know. I don't think that... He definitely wasn't in the championship match last night, and I'm not sure where he placed. I don't remember what school he was from, but he was just... one of those people that when they took the mat, I mean, everybody's just kind of like drawn to how tall he was. I was actually walking behind him last night at some point, and it's just, he's so tall.
But somebody took him out.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't think he was wrestling for first last night.
Now, he would have had to have been, I guess, in a higher weight class, I would imagine.
Yeah, he was heavyweight. I think he was 285. But, I mean, he was just a big guy.
Just a big, tall guy.
Right.
So now Saturday, the people who won on Friday do not have to compete.
Yeah, so if you won your first match on Friday, then you don't compete again until it's Saturday morning. And if you win your Saturday morning match, you compete Saturday night at 5:30. If you win that 5:30 match, then you are going for first place.
So now the winners on Friday get a day off.
No, I mean, if they won Friday, they get the evening off, right? So if you win your first one on Friday, like afternoon, you do not wrestle Friday evening, but you wrestle again Saturday morning.
Oh, okay. So, but you do wrestle Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Saturday morning. Yes.
Now, is it still a double elimination at that point?
It is. It's not. It's you don't get to lose. You only get to lose two matches. I mean, for your placement match, yeah. So if you make it to Saturday night, you're definitely placing in the top eight. So that was pretty cool.
So going into Sunday, what was left? Marion-wise?
Well, anybody in the top eight. So there was, of course, Quentin and Hallie from Elgin. There was Sam Mincer and Dax and Chase from Pleasant. And there was Porter Rick from River Valley.
Now, how many girls are down there?
Well, they don't break them up into Division 1, 2, and 3. It's just a set number of girls. But I think they're still the same 14 weight classes and 16 girls per weight class. So
really
that many, 16 times.
So 16 times, whatever that is at this point this is rough on Monday.
But yeah,
after the time change. No, but that's interesting because as we said the other day, I remember interviewing the first girl wrestler at Harding years ago, she had to wrestle the boys because there were no other girl wrestlers. But now schools have their own girls wrestling division.
Yep. It's taken off. I mean, and they have a huge fan base, obviously, and it really made the tournament grow. I was there when there weren't girls a couple of years ago. You know, this is only the second time girls have been there. So a few years ago, there weren't girls, and it was still a busy atmosphere, but it brings a whole different element to it for sure.
I would think that would be more entertaining to watch just from the perspective that you don't think of girls as being that aggressive in an aggressive one-on-one sport.
They're pretty scrappy.
That's what I'm saying. I think it'd be entertaining to watch when they actually get down and do it, because that wouldn't be what I think you would expect.
Yeah, maybe not what you expect. I mean, some of them, don't get me wrong, get out there and they just like, ugh, they are looking pretty fierce. But the girls, a little different from the boys. Almost every match that I watched at the end of it, the girls like hugged. You know, that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. They were nice little hug at the end.
It kind of.
Boys don't do that.
No.
No,
it kind of made me giggle, but it also was very nice to end that way. I mean, whether they hated each other at the end of it or not, it really didn't appear that way. You know, I think they took it a little bit more like you should a sport. There's a winner, loser, and you win some, you lose some.
Now, all of the schools in Marion at this point have a women's division, right?
I don't think so. I mean, like, I know that Pleasant doesn't have any girls that wrestle.
Harding does.
Harding does. Yeah, River Valley does. They have quite a few girls that wrestled this year. But I don't know. I don't think Ridgedale has a wrestling program at all anymore, to be honest with you.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. So the big star from Marion, though, came from Elgin, as far as the female division goes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. River Valley sent one girl, too, and one alternate, but she did not make it out of Friday, so... Yeah.
That's very interesting. What do you think it was about her, seeing her wrestle, that made her good?
You know, she's just a tiny little thing. She was at the 120 weight class, but gosh, she got after it. I mean, she was quick. She was obviously strong, and she wanted it. That's all I can really say. You could tell when she got out there to wrestle, she wanted it. She was all heart. She did a great job all weekend.
You know, something that I noticed, because you were sending pictures in, which was great over the weekend, it seems when there's obviously a bigger field starting out on Friday and then going into Saturday, that there are a lot of people there. But as people get eliminated, it looked as if people dissipated a little bit.
A little bit, but let me tell you, I heard a statistic last night, and I'm hoping that it's true, but they drew this weekend at the Shot and Steam between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there was over 60,000 people that attended the state tournament.
Oh, I bet that's true.
And it, which is interesting about that is that it was drew more of a crowd over the three-day period than the basketball tournament has drawn in the past.
Now, how long does the basketball, do they do three days?
Yeah,
they do 3 days
from what
well.
I understand, okay. Yes. Yeah. Like the same length of, you know, the state tournament there, and, it's pretty crazy, right? I mean, because, you know, typically basketball is the sport to go watch, but it was pretty cool.
Well, it's interesting, though, because do you think that when being there for the three-day period, do you think that when your kid is eliminated, because obviously I think that's the majority of who's going there to watch these things, mm-hmm. that it's like, well, who wins? Who cares who wins at this point?
I think some parents... probably don't stay, but I think a lot of the wrestlers stay, like with teammates or coaches. It's because it's such a big deal to be there. I mean, the atmosphere just to get to the state tournament is such an accomplishment, and for those wrestlers that are there, they really should just take it in. It's
well,
very cool.
Well, 60,000, that's pretty good in 3 days.
It was a lot of people. I mean, last night I tried to take a video to kind of show you how many people were there for finals. I mean, it was really I can't say it was sold out, but it was pretty close, I would say.
Well, the picture I think you sent on Friday or Saturday was mm-hmm. a lot of people.
Yeah, Saturday morning session. They did announce Saturday evening session. They said that there had been, I think it was 12,585 people there for the
That's
morning
good.
Session, which is huge. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of. What does the Schottenstein Center seat?
I have no idea. I knew you were going to ask me that.
I knew it was coming. You had to know like 5 questions ago that was coming.
I should have Googled it.
Yeah.
Darn it.
No.
I didn't. But yeah. It was a lot. A lot of people were there.
It was a lot of people.
It was a lot of people.
A lot of people. So we get that Saturday.
Yes.
Now, what happens on Sunday?
So
because this is the report that I don't know.
Okay. So Sunday morning is if you are placing anything but first or second. By the end of Saturday night, you know if you're going for third through eighth or if you're going for first and second. So Saturday morning rounds is there's one placement, a consolation placement round. So you're going to decide where you're going to, you know, which place you're going for. If you win that Saturday or Sunday morning match, you're going to go for third. If you lose that, you know, you may be going for fifth. And then there's seventh and eighth. So, yeah, I mean, it was all of that wrapped up probably around one or two on Sunday morning, and then the championship first and place, second place matches start at like 5:15 last night.
Now, the championship matches, now these people have not lost at all, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So there is no double elimination for them.
Nope. I mean, at that point, you know, truly, if you win through, you wrestle three matches, you know, one Friday, one Saturday morning, one Sunday evening, and then your Saturday night match or Sunday night match for the championship. So you're only wrestling like four.
Now, it's interesting because obviously you're there as media, and that's fun. But when it got to the championships last night, I talked to you, I think, right before it happened. Mm-hmm. This was personal.
It was
because
personal.
It's your stepson in there.
Of course.
And,
yeah, he came home. That
I'm just going to tell you that this is how I had one of the people who was over last night look up the result because you never told me the result. So.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry.
No. So I, you know, but let's. This is good.
He came home the runner-up. I mean, no, it was, you know, there's so many feelings, right? Because, like, to put it in perspective, he's, you know, the top two in the state of Ohio. I mean, you cannot.
No. Can't minimize that.
No, you can't minimize that. But for him, it was heartbreaking.
That's what I said. It has to be hard. And that's what I thought. Because I thought, not that, you know, had he won.
Of course.
I thought I probably would have gotten the result. And when nobody said anything, and last night we had a little conversation about you coming on this morning, you seemed a little cranky, and knowing that that had happened, I thought maybe there's a little company. I mean, that's after a long weekend,
yeah,
and that going on, that can be a little rough.
No, truthfully, the crankiness was not at all from his loss. You know, that's part of wrestling, right? Like, you don't win
right,
every match. You know,
you wrestle
these. Of course, it was heartbreaking, and it's so hard to watch him be upset. That's obviously,
yes,
the hardest part, because he has worked so hard. I mean, this has been his life for years, and this is like your senior year, you know, the moment you're in the championship match for the state. It's all built up to that
big
exact
deal.
Moment. It's a huge deal. Yeah, so it was definitely heartbreaking for him, but I think you just needed a day, or, you know, sleep on it, put it in perspective, and realize like the magnitude of what just happened. Like,
watching him, yeah, I think perspective will make that much better.
Of course.
But the morning after and last night, as you say, senior year, you've worked toward this. He obviously has been a very, very prolific wrestler in his career. Mm-hmm. To get to that moment and have that, what happened? As an unbiased journalist here, let's see if we can get a little unbiased journalisticness here, journalistic integrity, as they always say. What do you think happened?
No, like I can't be unbiased. I mean, he was up.
I know it's hard to be unbiased, but what happened?
He wrestled with his heart. I mean, he was up the entire match. He was up 1-0 going into. I mean, he literally lost in the last few seconds. He was up 1-0 the entire match. And in the last few seconds, you know, he got in a bad spot, and the guy scored points, and he won.
Now, it's my understanding, the report that I read, and maybe it's wrong, because, you know, I really don't know anything about wrestling at all. But 5-1 is the final score,
yes,
right? Okay.
Correct.
So now, when one person's up for most of the match, how do you end up 5-1 at the end? What happens there?
Well, because if you turn him over, you get like a reversal or whatever, and I don't know exactly how it all, you know, what all the terms are either, but then you get back points, right? So if you hold somebody in a position, the ref counts to, you know, 5.5 swipes, and then you get like 3 points for that. So yeah, it all happened very quickly.
Now, how does that, as that's going down, is it easy to tell what's going down?
Yeah.
Oh, so you know.
Okay.
You know what's happening.
You know, I mean, when you look at the clock and there's 5 seconds left, and, you know, I mean, there's no chance at that point to turn it around and have that many points.
So who did win? Who was the guy?
His name was Reese Steven.
Reese. Now, where was he from?
Barnesville. Why are you making me say this?
Well, no. I mean, maybe somebody wants to know who, you know.
Yeah, of
course. Is that bad to bring that name up at this point?
You know, he wasn't a, he was kind of a, he didn't win with class.
Oh, what happened?
He did not. He actually got a team point taken away for unsportsmanlike conduct. So, you know, that's like just kind of throwing salt in the wound. Just, it's
during that match?
Yes.
Really? What did he do?
He kind of did a whole little thing at the end, and yeah, you know.
Wait, a whole little thing at the end, because we don't know what you're talking about. What did he do?
It was like a little, as he had Dax down, he did like a little, he made a little face and to his coaches and a little dance thing. I don't know. It was all very.
Oh, so it was.
Much at that point.
Well, that's no
the
good.
The unsportsmanlike, you know.
So when he knew,
came out in me.
So when he knew he had it.
Yes.
He decided he was gonna.
Yeah.
Put the brag on.
Right. And he really the kid had really wrestled kind of a slow match the rest of the time. It's almost like he wanted to be in that position of 1-0 and then score the points at the very end. It's like he kind of had a.
So you think he knew what he was doing?
I do. Yes. And he the kid's tough. Like, you can't take anything away from him, obviously. I mean, he won state last year. He's a 2-time state, you know, state champion. So I'm not taking anything away from him, but I think when you're that good, there's somebody said about winning with class too. You know, not forgetting that you just, you know, obviously crush somebody's dreams. You don't have to be unsportsmanlike about it.
And I know this is very difficult for you to talk about. I mean, it's 12 hours at this point. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, it, you know, it's when you're emotionally involved in something like this, I mean, I would think that's a very big deal. But so what is it like? Clearly there is media. What is it like when this thing's going on for you? As you just said, clearly involved.
Yeah, so I sat for his match. I sat among the fans. I did not sit with the media as media. You're not supposed to cheer or show any emotion at all. And I knew for myself that as cool as it would have been to sit, you know, on the floor close to the match, that just wasn't who I – that's just not who I am. Like,
imagine that.
Yeah. So, so I wanted to sit with the family, you know, so I sat with my family. We had very good seats anyway. We were in the, you know, lower section as close to the mat as we could have been. So, yeah, it was good. It was all good. The whole night was, you know, even if it didn't turn out like, you know, we had hoped, it can't take anything away from.
No. And I'm gonna get to that point in just a second. But when you use the term, crush your dreams,
I mean, yeah, no, it's literally that serious. I mean, for a high school wrestler that's worked that hard, that is their dream.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the end of that dream. So, again, as a parent, you can put it in perspective and say, like, as anybody, like, say you get second in state, everybody's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But to that kid,
you could have gotten first, and it's tough, and anybody.
You were that close.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, so take us, before we move on to, you know, something cheerier here. Before, when that happens, and you know, and it's over, and the guy has been unsportsmanlike and been pointed against, what is that like when the match is over, and he's coming off the mats, and this has all happened, and you know, it's sinking in now what has happened. Mm-hmm. What's that like?
It's very emotional. I mean, win or lose is very emotional, because you know that that's kind of like the end of a high school wrestling era, right? And that's something that you just, as a parent, you really pour yourself into. And it's any sport. It's not just wrestling. I mean, for any sport, as it comes to an end in high school, I think it's always a little, you know, bittersweet for the parent. But watching that for him, it really was heartbreaking. I mean, your heart just aches. Like,
because this kid has been involved in wrestling and things for years and years and years, and does well, very, very well.
Yeah, he's very successful. I mean, that's the thing. You know, he's very successful. He's going on to wrestling college. So it's not the end. It's just the end of this chapter for him. So I think that reality probably hit a little bit at the same time, and it's tough.
Now, going in, what was the mood?
He was good. He locked in. I mean, he, you know, I think he was in a great headspace, as good as he could have been. So, you know, everything was really, I think everybody felt really good about it. I think it was a good mood going in. It was a good mood all weekend, honestly. Everything was good.
Well, that's good. And I think as perspective sets in, you got to look back on this and say, hey, second place is not bad.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, no, second place is not bad. Like, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, it's tough, you know, I assume for a couple of days, but in the end, it'll be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think, yeah, everybody just needs time to, and him, you know, he needs time.
Well, I would think. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one who was out there competing, I mean, that's very, tough. You know, and we had talked about this last week, and I think it is. It's very difficult because I think as whether you're a parent or you're that person, of course you want to win. That's the name of the game. And when you are winning, that's very nice, and it's good momentum, and people cheering you on. And then a moment like that, which we've all had those moments in life, mm-hmm. where something doesn't pan out exactly as we want it to, that's not the most pleasant moment in life.
Right. No, it's not. Knowing Dax, though, he's going to take that exactly. He's going to take exactly that. He's going to take that loss. He's going to come back even harder. He's going to work even harder. That's just his nature. So, yeah, it's just another match. You know, unfortunately, at this point, you gotta move forward, and he's got a lot to look forward to.
Now, philosophically, when anybody doesn't win, any of these people, how do you think they take it?
Just as hard.
I mean, all the way around.
All the way around, just as hard. Yeah, I mean, like, I think everybody, you know, again, I think they just all need a minute to put it in perspective because you're at the state tournament. Like, you are among the best of the best. You can't. You know, just to make it there, you're among the top 16 in your weight class, which is huge. I mean, that's like the state of Ohio. It's a big deal to be there. And I think everybody thought that going into it. But then when you get there and maybe you get that first win or the, you know, first loss with the second win, you think, okay, you know, I can do this. And then it always kind of takes the wind out of your sails, right?
What's the excitement like just in general in the building?
Oh, it's crazy. It's electric in there. I mean, like, especially for finals last night, you know, they do the whole parade of champions. And so before it starts, you know, the first and second place, or well, not first, you know, two first people going for first place kind of parade out and the lights are turned low and they do the whole like fire, you know, things that they do. And it's very cool.
What do they do when it's over and people win? What happens there?
So, well, they have the podium, right? So,
but it's like the Olympic podium type of thing.
It is. Like they put on the, if you place first through eighth, you know, you're on the podium and there's pictures and you're announced. And yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of people there at the end, obviously, because the, you know, the eight placers in each weight class, most of their parents are still there for all that. So yeah, it's kind of busy right up to the end.
Now, as far as covering this from the media post up until the last match, what was the weekend like?
It was always something.
Well, you were with Owen, your kid.
Oh yeah, Owen and I had a great time. Oh my gosh, we had such a good time. You know, it was funny because there would be like maybe Marion wrestlers on, you know, there's a couple times where they were wrestling at the same time. So we'd be sitting there doing one and he'd be like, somebody's up somewhere else. So he would run to the other one and he would take pictures and come back over and snap some more. Like it was so much fun. We were trying to, you know, take it all in and, get everything in because I think, you know, some of them really appreciated the pictures that we were taking because parents, you know, at the Schottenstein Center, like even the closest seats aren't as close as what you're used to sitting like in a high school gymnasium. I mean, it's not great to get, you know, not very easy to get a lot of great pictures. So yeah, we were able to do that and it was good.
Good. So, that was a good experience.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Now, was he helping you write your report that you were sending in?
No.
Really? Not at all?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I'm kind of surprised because it was a good report.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, not that you couldn't write a good report. There was terminology in there that I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Well, I've been around wrestling for a few years myself.
All right. But that's no, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
So what was the high point of the weekend?
I think the high point is probably that moment when you know you're heading into finals, right? Like for Dax, I think it was, you know, once you get that Saturday night match out of the way and you win that and, you know, you have a lot to, you know, to look forward to the next day. That was a high point. I think for all of the wrestlers, you know, wrestling in front of that crowd and just seeing the atmosphere, you know, had to be one of their high points, just being there.
Do you think that on the whole, this is more emotional than, as you said, maybe a basketball game or a football game because it's team sports?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing for a wrestler, right? Like it's on them, win or lose.
Right. It's
and that's such a mental, could take such a mental toll on you. You know, it's so much pressure. I think that they're feeling, because it's not like the teammate made a bad pass or missed a shot. It's, you know, you might have missed that. So that's hard, I think. But I think it also turns them into different people in life. I mean, they have a different kind of mentality than some people might.
In what way?
I think they're just a little tougher, in my opinion. I have them at home. I mean, like, they do put pressure on themselves. They expect a lot out of themselves at all times. So I think that's it. I mean, I think they tend to work a little harder because they depend on themselves.
You know, it's interesting because we talked about this on Friday morning before any of this started, and you were making the point because there is it's not so much as it used to be, but there was this movement for a long time that everybody should get a trophy mm-hmm. and people should not be competitive. And this is you said that is not you. You don't subscribe mm-hmm. to that.
No.
You know, is that right, really, though? I mean, I'm not saying everybody should get a trophy, but should we pay a little closer attention? Because in that moment, when somebody wins, I mean, everybody else is kind of forgotten for the moment. It's like, okay, well, we know the winner. Like the report that I saw last night, it was pretty well, this was the winner.
Yeah. I mean, no. Like,
were you surprised I was able to find a report last night?
No, I'm not surprised.
Well, you should be, because I had to get somebody else who was over at my house to look up the report.
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think everybody should get a trophy. I mean, and I'm still not that parent. I'm not the parent who lets my kid win all the games when we play at home.
imagine that.
It's okay to teach them how to lose and teach them how to lose gracefully and teach them, you know, how to do things. I don't see a problem with that.
And how do you lose with grace? Because that's tough.
It is.
As you said last night, it's very emotional. It's very difficult.
You know, I mean, you shake your competitor's hand and say congratulations, and then you handle yourself when you get off the mat.
Does it make it worse, as in last night, when somebody takes a shot like that?
I mean, I don't know if it doesn't make it any worse. No, I don't think so. I mean, the damage is done, but just, you don't, I mean, just being a sore loser is bad enough, but being a sore winner is just, I don't understand it at all. I mean, he didn't even go shake the other coach's hand. You know, you shake your opponent's hands. He didn't even do the coach's hands. He didn't even do that. Why? You know?
Is there a tensity there?
Because
I would imagine, see, I can think in preliminary matches that maybe there's not as much intensity, but when you get to the final match and this is it and neither one of you have been beat and one of you is going to be state champion, one of you is not, and it's not a team sport, and here we go, I can imagine right before that starts that's got to be a very, very tense moment.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. You know, I'm obviously not down there in their heads, but I mean, the whole thing is tense. Each match matters when you're there because you can't have a loss to win for, you know, to go for first place. So the whole thing is pretty tense.
Your son, Owen, involved in wrestling mm-hmm. and obviously stepkids involved in wrestling, doing very well. But what I always like to ask this of people in general, what have you learned through this whole experience? What do you know now that you didn't know then? About winning and losing, maybe, about wrestling in general, about anything. What do you know now?
I don't know. What do I know now? I don't know.
Lessons you've learned from this whole experience?
No. I don't know if I've learned anything from it.
Not a darn thing.
No, I mean, like, you know, you have a new, it's not really new. Like, I've always had an appreciation for what, you know, any of the boys do out on the wrestling mat, because it is such a mental, you can't wrestle it for them, but, you know, it's one thing when they're physically hurt, but when they're mentally hurt, it's a whole nother ball game as, you know, a parent or a loved, you know, someone who loves that child on the mat. Seeing them hurts hard.
Not to get it too deep into this, but, you know, this is what I do as a journalist, and you're kind of letting on to this here. Because I think this is important, because you know what? There are other parents out there who listen to this program who've had this experience,
sure,
or similar experiences. I mean, when you're talking to the emotion of what happens when somebody walks off the mat, we never get to really pay much attention to that as the audience or the media, really, because that's what we as the media do. Like I said, the report I saw last night was blah, 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 5-1, they're the state champion.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
That was the report. So that's why this is a little more in-depth here. We've got a little more time to do that here this morning. And also, you have the unique perspective of being involved as a step-parent in this
sure.
particular instance. So when you're talking about, okay, the match is over, you know you didn't win, unfortunately, you're good until you walk off the mat, what is that like? What's the car ride home like? What's going on there?
It's quiet, but also, you know, like, we're very proud of him and everything that he's accomplished. I can't say that enough. he is quiet. You know, I don't go right out to him. As you know, his dad is one of his coaches, so he's right down there with him. He's on, you know, he's coaching him as he's wrestling. So he was with him immediately, you know, after the match, and that's when we give him space. And I think, as you know, his dad too, he can talk to him and say the things, but then you just got to let him process it himself.
But is it tough on everybody?
Of course.
Yeah.
Everybody was heartbroken. You know, yeah. Everybody was proud. It's hard to be proud of his accomplishments. You know, you can say to him a million times, like, look where you are, like, look around, see, you know, you got second place, which is huge. There's a million kids that would kill to be in his shoes to, you know, to just be up there. But, he's not seeing that at that moment. You know, he just needs a minute. I think, like I said, perspective. Well, a little bit of time.
Now, perspective for a parent, I think, is a little different.
Oh, of course. No, it's easier. It's easier to see for us right away that, you know, the magnitude of where he is and how hard he's worked to be there, and not being at all disappointed with him. You know,
disappointment.
And he's disappointed, but he's disappointed himself.
Yeah.
So that's hard. You know, that's just hard to see.
Well, it shouldn't be, because, and I know you can't tell anybody that, but to get to that point and to do that well in that tournament, and I know his dad is, your husband, is very involved in these mm-hmm. things, and that's a great thing, because not everybody's parent is, and he does a good job. I mean, I've seen the pictures and things on social media that have went along this season, and, you know, like I said, it's hard to explain, but he should be very proud of what he accomplished there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, proud is just doesn't begin to cover it.
Right. But it's, you know, it's much like with everything, the day after the Super Bowl, you want to be on one side, you know, as you get perspective, it's a little different thing. But no, I mean, that's an interesting thing.
It is. It is. And I hope he wakes up today feeling a little bit better, you know, and has a chance to see how far, see what he's done. I mean, it's been a great season.
Is there visible emotion in these moments?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That I think explains to people who've maybe never wrestled or maybe who've never been in competitive sports that it's a big deal, and it can bring out emotion in people who maybe heretofore don't show a lot of emotion.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, it was very emotional. It's very emotional. Win or lose, the whole thing is emotional, because they're exhausted when they come off the mat. They just pour their heart into it, you know, physically and mentally drained. It's a very emotional sport.
Now, how much time do they get before the big match?
What do you mean?
Like since they wrestled their last match?
Oh, so it was like 24 hours. Like, he didn't wrestle. He wrestled Saturday night, and then not again until Sunday night.
Now, how many winners are there? Different weight classes.
Yep, there's 14 weight classes.
So a winner in each.
And three divisions. Well, three boys divisions and a girls division. So there's four divisions there wrestling at the same time for first place.
Okay. Now, what's the closest any other Marianne person got in anything?
Hallie placed fourth.
So she, the girls division. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Mm-hmm. So she, and Elgin, that's interesting to me. Elgin has never in the history of their school had anybody place, and this year two.
Two. Isn't that amazing?
Two. That is something.
Says something for the coaches for sure. I mean,
how much do you think the coaches play in this?
Huge, huge. I mean, you know, if you don't like the coaches, or the coaches aren't doing well or really drawing kids in, you know, you're not going to have that caliber of wrestlers. You know, it really takes good coaches to pull kids into the sport and have them stay.
So what is the rule now for somebody who may be getting into wrestling, or a parent who may be getting into wrestling? What's the rule? What's the idea of finding a good coach if you want to go far, or being in the right place, or being a supportive parent? How do you handle that?
You know, I don't know if I'm the best person to talk about that. Like, Owen didn't wrestle when he was young. You know, Steve coached the boys, his boys, from the time they were, you know, 8 years old, something like that, they started. So, and he found tournaments all over the place for them to go to, and training all over the place, Ohio and beyond. They went to camps and all the stuff. They've really, it's really been their life for the last 10 years or so. So, I mean, you can start them young if you want to, and there's places around that you can go and find those coaches and find a program that fits you. Once they get in junior high and high school, obviously you're kind of at, you know, your school's coaching mercy. So I guess you have to decide for yourself if that's right or right fit.
And now they go on to college.
Correct.
And he will wrestle in college? Dex?
He'll, at Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah. So very good.
Very exciting.
So that'll turn out okay.
Yeah.
So it's not the very end.
No, I mean, he's wrestling for a Division I, you know, Big Ten school. It's beyond exciting.
Yeah, be fun. So you'll be at more wrestling matches.
Next year.
There you go. That's how it all works
we'll
out.
Back.
So on the whole, the experience was what on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, it was a 10. It was a 10. We had so much fun being there. It was, you know, like I said, I've been to the state tournament before, you know, a few times, and it's never quite been like that. So, you know, being down there and being able to really be right in and seeing all of the wrestlers that were there from Marion and get pictures and talk to them, it was awesome.
Well, I was happy to see the reports over the weekend because I thought they were interesting in that this is going on with Elgin and this is what's going on with the Marion mm-hmm. folks, because it sounded like a slow start, but then it seemed to turn around and then there was some history for what was going on at Elgin.
Obviously, yeah, it was great. I think Marion had an amazing showing with their wrestlers and it was awesome. They did a great job, all of them.
And Owen was having a good time.
Oh my gosh, yes. He's crazy. We had a great time.
Now, do you have any other family members there?
I mean, yeah. So for finals, you know, everybody came down.
Nice.
You know, my whole family was there and I don't know. We had quite the cheering section for him, of
good.
Course.
So, good. Yeah. And when did you know that he was going to be in the finals? How soon do you know that?
Saturday night.
So you knew that before.
5:30. Yeah. So we had, you know, Luke came down for that. And of course, Owen was there and a lot of family for him for that. It was a big celebration, of course, that he, you know, won that semifinal match and knew he was going to finals. So, yeah.
You know, is there a lot of, what do I want to say? What's the right word here? Is there a lot of anticipation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, you win, you know you're going, you know it's the next day.
Yeah.
That would seem, maybe, and you lose an hour that night.
Right.
But there's a lot of anticipation. I would imagine there's some nerves involved.
Yeah, I mean, there is. And it's not like you're just you're not wrestling, but, you know, I have teammates that are wrestling. You know, Dax was back at it, you know, Sunday morning watching, you know, his teammates wrestle and the other, you know, other Marion wrestlers wrestle. So you're not just sitting around and doing nothing. You know, you're still up and at the venue and, you know, cheering your fans on and maybe warming up and things like that. So it's a lot.
Now, how do the people from the school handle things?
What do you mean?
Like, well, what are they doing when this is all going on? The final match.
Oh, everybody's watching. I mean, you know, they're sitting and watching and cheering just as, you know, loud as you can. And you're there for his teammates were great last night that were there. They were, you know, all came and said congratulations and good season and gave him space and time to think. But it was good.
So what was the crowd like when the final match happened?
You know, it's kind of one of those things, like when you're sitting there and you're watching that one match, because there's three other matches going on at the same time in the same division. So, you know, there's cheers and there's noise and then it's, you know, it's kind of they're all ending at different times. And I don't know. It's just kind of those things when I'm looking at it, like I kind of drowned out the rest because you're kind of, you know, it's just kind of so focused.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
The whole thing was fun.
Yeah. And competition is not a bad thing.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
No. Now, we have a few minutes left here, and because last night was the Academy Awards, I wanted to ask you this, because I did this story with the kids on Friday night, mm-hmm. and they had no idea who these people were, I don't think. You know, a little bit out of their purview, but I know you'll know who these people are.
Yes.
No. Why did you wince at that?
It's always those things that make me feel old, right?
I'm in the same boat with you on this one.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a fascinating story. Now, by the way, if you didn't watch the Academy Awards last night, it was Oppenheimer who walked away with everything, which I think they pretty well thought was going to happen. But this is from an Academy Awards night many years ago, and I think this is one of the most interesting stories I've ever heard in dealing with I never heard this before. But Sally Field was nominated for an Academy Award for the movie Norma Rae. Now, at the time, her boyfriend was Burt Reynolds, who they had been in the Smokey and the Bandit movies together. Burt Reynolds, her boyfriend, refused to go to the ceremony, the Academy Awards ceremony in which she was nominated, by saying to her, now this is the quote, "You really think you're going to win?" Well, guess what? She did. And guess what? She dumped him right after the awards ceremony. So, when you just hear that story on the surface, what do you make?
That's terrible.
Isn't that awful?
That's terrible.
I mean, I don't know how anybody could put a positive spin on that.
No.
And Burt Reynolds, God rest his soul, he's dead. He's no longer with us. But why would you ever say that, even if you thought it?
I have no idea. Like, kind of, what a jerk. I'm sorry to say that, but like, why would you? I don't understand.
Because they're both actors.
Right. That's terrible.
Yeah. That you would say that to her. Maybe that's why it didn't all work out.
Maybe it's a little jealousy, right? He wasn't nominated.
It very well could have been. And I, you know, maybe not going, that had something to do with it. Or maybe he was on a shoot. I doubt it. But you should never say you really think you're going to win.
No, I think that's terrible.
But she did.
She did.
She did.
That's interesting.
I mean, is that like a knife right to you? I mean, she had to feel like $1 million.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, she got the best revenge, but it's not like a sport in that she could have just gone out and proved him wrong. I mean,
so I'm saying you got to have the votes going
in
that night. There's nothing you can do. So it made me think of that when you were telling the story about competitiveness and so on and so forth with all these wrestling events. She couldn't do anything except give the performance that she gave and try to get the votes that she got. But I think sometimes we say things to people even subconsciously that is not good.
Right.
You know, you have to watch what you say to people when they're up for some kind of competition.
Yeah, you do. You definitely do. And I'm sorry that happened to her.
Do you think she was right to drop him after that?
Absolutely.
That's enough. Well, even if you like the guy, you know what? That was terrible.
I mean, it kind of speaks to, you know, his support of her career or her as a person. Like, I think that's terrible.
So the question in the end here, and this was the final question I asked them on Friday night, had she not won, do you think she would have stayed? Because then he would have been right, even though he came off snarky in doing it.
I don't think so. I mean, I think she probably had it pretty well set in her head.
Right? After you say that, those are the final words?
Yeah. I mean, because at least go and support. She was nominated, and why would you? I don't know why you would kind of doubt someone, but no.
Very unsupportive.
Very unsupportive.
But again, Oppenheimer walked away last night with all the awards. Did you ever see Oppenheimer?
I have not. Actually, it's one of those that we've said we want to watch, you know, because I think it's on, like, whatever, Netflix or Hulu or one of those show, you know, streaming things now, but I haven't seen it yet.
I've never seen as little coverage for an Academy Awards as yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see much.
I didn't even know it was last night, not that I would have cared to watch, but I always like the pre-show. I like the fashion stuff.
Oh, you like where they're out there on the red carpet?
I do. I'll watch like E's red carpet show. I do like that.
Have you noticed people don't take as many chances with fashion anymore as they once did?
I think some of these like are a little stuffier. I think the Academy Awards are a little stuffier as far as fashion goes.
Well, I think because they know if they're going to win or they're presenting, they don't want to look like a goof in those pictures for the rest of their life.
No, but that's kind of fashion, right? It's like taking chances. I mean, that's, you know.
Remember the one year the girl wore like a duck on her shoulder or something?
Yes,
and people just beat her to death for that?
I
don't know, but she wore a duck. She had a duck on her shoulder.
Yeah.
Not a real duck, but it was part of the dress and feathers and things.
I know, and gosh, I can't believe her name just left my mind. Or like Lady Gaga wore the meat dress.
Yeah, and people, I'm sure she was happy with it, but everybody else was like, whoa. This is the Academy Awards and you're wearing meat?
I don't know if it was the Academy Awards, right? That's like the MTV Awards or the
music. Oh, well, you can wear that to the MTV Awards.
The music awards are a little different, you know? They're a little edgier, I think.
She spruces up when she has to.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen her look very nice.
Oh, I love Lady Gaga.
Yeah. So, in our final 30 seconds here, what have you learned from this experience? What's the wrap up of this whole experience?
You know, I had so much fun. Like, I'd love to do something like that again. You know, doing like some, you know, reporting back and being with Owen. I think we had a great time doing it. He was already talking about next year, so I don't know. I'll see if I have it in me. But it was a good time. Like, we really, you know, I learned that it was the fun thing to do. I would like to do that again.
Well, thanks for doing it.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you doing it, and I appreciate you did a good job.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the chance.
Very nice. We're going to break. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Original Doctor of Love, Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
This is an important point. Fall in love. What is Dr. Ruth's definition of love?
I don't have a real definition. Everybody has to work out their own. But I would say a part of it would be that you are glad when that person walks into the room where you are. That you have a kind of a fluttering in your heart that person that you really like.